Alfred responded at once, and his response had the right effect. You know what he did? He screamed.
Hey!
And we're talking about a loud, blood-curdling screech that rattled the windows. Blood-curdling screech, I should say. And it was so loud, it hurt my ears. It worked. Slim's eyes snapped open. He stared at the boy for a few seconds, then saw that we were heading for the ditch. He jerked the wheel at the very last moment and got us back into the road.
I wasn't asleep, but you might better keep a watch out just in case. Boy, these childhood diseases are sure hard on us grown men.
He gave his head a shake, blinked his eyes, and concentrated on the road ahead,
of which there wasn't a whole lot to see, since the wind was driving the snow across it in ribbons and sheets and clouds. It had kind of a hypnomatic effect on all of us, even me.
I mean, one second you could see the road, and the next it was gone, swallowed up in a big white blur. It made us all feel kind of dreamy.
But little Alfred was on the job, and he kept a sharp eye on Slim. Every time Slim's eyes started to glaze over, Alfred let out another screech. It worked, but Slim felt the need to grumble and complain about it.
I hope my insurance covers ear damage. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if you screeched just a little softer.
Yeah, but then you fall asleep, and we get stuck in a snowdrift.
Okay, but when you see me wearing hearing aids in both ears, you just remember who caused it.
Alfred laughed.
Oh, Slim, you're funny.
Great. I always wanted to be funny in the middle of a snowstorm. I sure hope we...
His voice trailed off, and I thought maybe he'd fallen asleep again, but then he said,
By Nettie's, there she is.
All eyes turned towards the front. There in the north ditch was Viola's daddy's blue Ford pickup, high-centered and stuck in a snowdrift. We pulled up beside it, and Slim rolled down his window. Viola rolled hers down, too, and we could see her pretty face. Her cheeks were red from the cold, and she wore a bright smile. Oh, and she had a fur cap on her head.
Hi, boys. I guess I'm stuck.
I had a feeling that most of her smile was meant for, well, for me, you might say, and I rushed over to the window to give her my warmest greeting. I mean, Miss Viola was my very most favorite lady friend, and okay, maybe I forgot about Slim sitting there when I rushed to the window, and I guess my tail whacked him on the face and, well, knocked his glasses down on his nose. And maybe my hair was a little wet, but he sure didn't need to.
Hank, for crying in the bucket, will you get away from me?
He shoved me back on the other side and fixed his glasses.
I know which one of us stinks now.
He turned to Viola again.
I tried to tell you not to come.
I know you did, Slim, but I don't always listen to you.
I noticed.
How do you feel? You look terrible.
Thanks. Looks tell it all, I reckon.
Well, you don't have any business being out in this storm. Do you want to try to pull me out?
Slim gave that some thought.
Don't think so. I just don't have any strength, Viola. I'm as weak as a poisoned pup, and I keep falling asleep. Why don't you get in and drive this thing? We'll pull you out when the storm breaks. By then, I'll either feel better or be dead.
He turned to us dogs.
Now, I'm fixing to move myself over to the shotgun side, and any dogs that don't get out of the way are gonna get smashed.
Okay, fine. Gee whiz, he didn't need to. Drover and I moved ourselves down to the floor and cleared the seat for Slim, while Miss Viola climbed in on the driver's side. Slim slid across, slumped against the door, closed his eyes, and laid his head against the window.
Try not to get stuck this time. If you do, just open the door and roll me into the ditch and leave me for the coyotes.
With that, he was asleep.
Viola got in and sat behind the wheel. She found a place where she could turn around without getting stuck, and we made the long, slow drive back to the house. Several times she had to stop in the middle of the road. The snow was blowing so badly, she couldn't even see the hood of the pickup. The snow appeared to have stopped falling from the sky by then, and in fact, we could see the sun popping through every once in a while, but the wind continued to blow the snow that had already fallen. There's a name for this, by the way. It's called a ground blizzard. You're probably amazed that I knew that, and maybe you wonder how I knew. Easy. Viola called it that. It must have taken us 10 or 15 minutes to make it back to the house. Viola kept the pickup in second gear and crept along, following the tracks we had made in the snow. And at last we arrived at headquarters. She parked the pickup beside the yard gate and turned off the motor. She beamed us a smile, her glorious, bright, sunshine smile, and said,
"Well, that was fun, wasn't it?"
Then she tried to wake up the measled cowboy by calling his name. It didn't work. Alfred tried too and got the same response. Nothing. It appeared that I needed to step in and take charge of this deal, so I hopped up on the seat and went right to work, licking Slim on the face and left ear. After a few juicy licks, his eyes slid open. He cut them from side to side, then turned his head enough so that he could see me. His eyes were bloodshot and looked none too friendly. And in a croaky voice, he said,
"Hank, if you don't quit licking me, I might be forced to pull your tongue out by the roots and feed it to the buzzards. Quit."
He pushed me away and sat up.
"Well, I reckon we survived the trip. Nice work, Viola. I don't know what you would have done without me."
That was a joke, I guess, and Miss Viola was kind enough to laugh at it.
"I'm sorry to cause you all this trouble. You were right about the road. I shouldn't have tried it, but I did. And now I'm here. Can you walk to the house?"
"Heck yes, I ain't an invalid. One more little nap will bring me around."
We all climbed out of the pickup and started towards the back door. I noticed that Viola's gaze fell upon the broken fence.
"Should I ask what happened to the fence?"
"Wind must have blowed it down."
Her brows rose.
"That must have been quite a wind. It even left tracks in the snow."
"Heh, old Viola was ranch raised and she'd been taught to notice tracks.
It wasn't easy to fool her and Slim didn't." We made it to the back door. Slim stamped the snow off his boots and opened the door.
"Button, I think the time has come to let them dogs."
In the twinkling of an eyeball, Drover and I squirted through the door. By the time Slim figured out what was happening, we had taken our positions on the rug in the utility room, had curled up into little furry balls, and were looking as innocent as dogs could possibly look. I mean, the utility room needed guarding, right? And we had a lady visiting us, and we sure as thunder didn't want to risk something. You never knew what manner of stranger or monster might try to break into the house, and Slim's eyes narrowed into cruel slits. Without lifting my head off the rug, I rolled my eye so that I could meet his gaze. In my deepest secret heart, I knew that we were fixing to be tossed out into the snow. He opened his mouth to speak, but just then, the phone rang. Slim's eyes blanked out.
"Now, who could be calling at a time like this? I hope it ain't who I think it is."
He went into the kitchen. His face was tense when he put the phone to his ear, but then it showed relief.
"Why, yes, howdy. Yep, she made it."
He covered the phone and winked at Viola.
"It's your daddy. No, all's well. Have you heard any weather?" "Good, good. I hope so. It was kind of a nasty little storm." "Yes, sir. We'll keep in touch. Bye."
He hung up the phone and heaved a sigh.
Boy, that was lucky. There for a second, I thought it might be Loper or Sally Mae calling to find out.
By then, Viola had wandered into the kitchen. A look of horror filled her eyes.
What on earth happened in here?
Slim dug his hands into his pockets and looked up at the ceiling.
Two dogs and one little boy is all I can tell you.
She blinked several times.
Oh my, Sally Mae is going to...
The phone rang again. Slim swallowed hard.
Uh-oh. I sure hope this ain't...
He wrapped his hand around the phone and put it to his ear.
Hello? Yes? Yes? Who? Well, I'll be darned. Hello, Sally Mae.